Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
The words of Kyler Murray. I'm glad he caught the ball. He's talking about DeAndre Hopkins.
Keyshawn,
J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Key coming around to the Arizona Cardinals.
No, man, I was always around. I just, you know, had some reservation about what type of team they could be long-term in terms of playoff runs and Super Bowls and all that sort of stuff.
Can I ask you,
in terms of him operating in this offense, I never had a doubt that he would be good within this offense. It's just, what are they going to be in the end?
Random question, because I know our producers always do a hell of a job where they play incoming music that fits like the narrative. So where is that music? Where is the tie-in? Do you guys? I don't really know. I'm confused.
Well, the song I believe was Jimmy Eat World, and I think right now the football world is talking about Kyler. Now, can I ask you this, fellas?
See how I asked a random question?
Just trying.
He just
trying.
Knows the answer.
I thought that music was from like Wayne's World or something.
No, but Kyler Murray was excellent yesterday. Keyshawn J. Will, you put it on a tee, bro.
All right. I can't with Key.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase.
I do not know who that was. Who was that, Evan?
You know
who
the artist.
The song?
Of course you know that artist, J. Will.
I do not know the artist. I might have watched a Seinfeld episode or two, but I don't know the artist to everything.
You want the real tie-in? Jimmy Eat World, who is the band? They're from the state of Arizona.
Exactly.
How about that?
See?
Okay?
But it sounded like something from Wayne's World. No, it did. Like that music, I was just like, oh, okay.
You watch Wayne's World?
I've seen it.
Yeah.
In the basement, okay. Saturday night, Wayne and Garth, cable access.
No. When I'm usually watching television, it's ID Network, Snap, some stuff like that.
Gotcha. You had to get up to about channel 700 for Wayne's World back in the day. Not that there were 700 channels.
And everyone wants me to say, and DeAndre Hopkins was in the middle of three defenders.
Oh, there you go.
There
How
you
about
go.
That? So it ties together.
Did you see that, Key? Key still doesn't get it.
No, I
still
don't.
Still not there.
Yeah, I'm not
there. Yeah, it's all right.
Let me set up something for the Cardinals here. So here they are at 6-3 after one of the greatest wins in recent NFL memory. We're watching it on ESPN News. It's the first Hail Mary to win a game since Aaron Rodgers hit Richard Rodgers in 2015 on Thursday Night Football.
Arizona.
Yes, and it was a huge win. And now you get to a point where everybody's talking about Monday Night Football tonight after the Thursday Night Hail Mary 5 years ago, but it's one finish on a Sunday that's really getting everyone hyped for the Cardinals, who are now in first place in the NFC West. Thanks to a Seahawks loss, both 6-3.
I'm raising my hand because I want to ask a question.
Jay, go ahead.
End of the game, the damn catch was incredible. The Jordan gloves, must be the gloves. But Key, I got to ask you.
Yes.
Poyer comes across, he's 21.
The safety. Okay.
Tre'Davious White is in position to knock the ball down. Poyer hits White, knocks him out of the picture. But you're telling me that Poyer should just hit DeAndre Hopkins, essentially?
Yeah, just run through D-Hop at that point. D-Hop's arms are in the air. You might as well just run through him. They're not going to throw the flag. So you don't have to worry about, as long as you're not, like, just tackle the dude to the ground. But if you there's some contact when you're going up in that situation, the refs, when have you ever seen a referee throw a flag at the end of a game in that situation?
They're almost never
going to do that. Mm. They're just not going to do it.
You said run through Hopkins. I want to run through something for Arizona and then get your thoughts here. What a 26-day span it's going to be for the Cardinals. I'm going to go back about 22 days because they're going to play again on Thursday. So 22 days ago, they come out 3 weeks ago, essentially, and they beat the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football, hand Seattle their first loss of the season. People start to pay attention. They do so in overtime.
Well, I was always paying attention, but yes.
Yes, that they won at the end. Now, here they are. And if you fast forward 26 days from that day, they will play the Seahawks again on Thursday Night Football. It'll be a battle of first place teams. So they beat Seattle the first time, get to 6-3, got Seattle again on the short week. You love to talk about the season in quote unquote quarters. Well, guess what? Seattle went 1-3 in the second quarter of the season.
Not
this
good.
This is a huge Thursday night matchup on a short week after one of the greatest, most dramatic wins, certainly in Cardinals history and recent NFL history.
Yeah, you would just think that the Cardinals would be in a position. Well, here's what I would say. First of all, Seattle should have all their energy because they didn't do nothing against the Rams yesterday. You know, they should be at full rest, where Arizona kind of had to grind this thing out. You know, short rest Thursday night. They beat them the first time around. This time around, they got to go to Seattle. They come out of the dome. They're going up into different sort of environment. You never know what the weather may be up there. It could be snow. It could be rain. And hopefully Seattle gets the defense back. The first time around, there was no Jamal Adams on the defense when they played him. This time around, Jamal Adams is playing. So maybe they're going to spy him to some degree or whatever the case is. But it's huge for both of these teams in terms of the victory, because one of them are going to take the commanding lead in the NFC East or the NFC West. The other one is going to fight for a wild card spot. So somebody's got to win, right? And somebody's got to win, because in the end, if you're talking about the Rams, they've got to play against Arizona again. Seattle has to play the Rams again. So these three teams are going to go back and forth. I just took San Francisco completely out of the equation. I think they're done for the season.
Agreed.
For the most part. When you look at it, though, you know, Arizona winning games late in the end is what they have done best this year. There's no question about it. I don't want to have a lead by touchdown or less with Kyler Murray with the football in his hands at the end of games. Mm-hmm. You've got to make sure that you've got a, you know, pretty commanding lead if you're going to put the ball in his hands. Otherwise, make sure you got the ball in the end with the lead if you plan on winning. Otherwise, he's displayed to us. He's calm. He's cool. He's collective. He's not – there is no panic that sets in. With young quarterbacks in situations like that, he looks like he's been there before. Mm-hmm. He's far ahead of his age in terms of the quarterback position. When you young guys like that, he just – and I think a lot of that has to do with his upbringing, being around his dad as a professional athlete, having gone through some turmoil at Texas A&M prior to going to Oklahoma, but also being a dual sport guy, being a baseball player, being a professional before becoming a professional. The dude was drafted in the first round, mm-hmm. signed a professional contract when he was in college. So he's a grown-ass man. It's a little bit different than when you got somebody coming from college in their first or their second year trying to learn how to play on the big stage.
2 points. Point number one, man, I feel bad for Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited. It's so quickly. It was like yesterday he was on top of the charts. He was Mr. MVP, never got an MVP vote. And now we're watching
him. He might not get an MVP vote
again. On his back, looking up, reaching for that star, saying, I just was holding on to it 1 second ago. That's number one. And he has to continue to throw the ball. Like Dan Orlovsky said, they have to score 25, 30 points a night in order to beat you, even though their defense did look somewhat marginal. Number two, I was reading an interview by the USA Today on Patrick Patterson. And before the game, he said, this is part of the season where you start to separate the contenders and the pretenders. We want to be a contender. So my question, the key is, I've been on this Arizona Cardinal train from the beginning. And I just love the style in which they play. Yeah. I know we called them cute. It finally feels like you're someone on the train.
No, I called them cute.
You called them cute. It finally feels like you're on the train. So I'm asking you right now.
No.
Are they a contender or do you still think they're a pretender?
I still think they're a pretender. I do. I honestly do. And it's just.
Why?
Well, because you can't keep winning games in the end like that. He's got three of those this year. Out of the six wins that they have, three of them have come at the end, the very end of games. You just can't live like that. You can't live on the edge like that.
Can't that be a sign of maybe positive things to come if you have momentum? You gain momentum. You keep finding confidence.
It takes Kyler Murray to pull the ball down and scamper and run all over the place at the end of the game like a video game to win it. Or it takes Kyler Murray to elude a defender and allow Buffalo, one of the dumbest things they could have ever done, is allow DeAndre Hopkins to have free access to run down the middle of the field, say, hey, I'm right here, look at me, and Kyler Murray to throw the ball. I can poll, as y'all like to do a lot of polls, I can poll all the defensive coordinators in the National Football League, and the first thing they're going to say is, we would never allow DeAndre Hopkins to have free access. We'll never do it. We'll never do it.
Quick explanation on free access.
Nobody in front of him at the point, at the line of scrimmage, they just allowed him to run down like he's running a 100-meter dash. They just allowing him to run down without somebody jamming him at the point of attack. They put somebody over Larry Fitzgerald. I would have put two people over Larry Fitzgerald, two people over DeAndre Hopkins. I would have played man under, which means that I would have had somebody running down the field with him the entire way, and I would have put everybody else back. I would have rushed three people. That's it. Three. I'm only rushing three. Everybody else, get back.
So the NFC West is open. So if you're saying who's the best team?
In NFC West.
Yeah. So it's open, right? So who would you say the best team is in NFC West?
Man,
you're going with the Rams?
The Rams is one of them just – I know they lost to Buffalo, and I know that
I think Buffalo's a contender, even though they lost yesterday.
Contending to win their division. They ain't contending to go to Super Bowl.
Okay, man, I'm just saying, look, you've been the one up here on radio telling me multiple times, Key – all you have to do is get to the playoffs.
Yes,
they do have
true.
Some of the explosive pieces.
Anything could happen.
If they were to get there.
There's
that's
no
what I'm
question
saying,
about
right?
it. Okay. Anything could happen if they get there. But if we just going to play it even, I don't think that they have enough to get past Kansas City in Pittsburgh.
Fair.
If they get there.
Go back to the Rams point.
Because I think the Rams are just one of those. The Rams and the Raiders are just two teams out west that I feel like.
They just loom around, huh?
They hang around. Plus, the Rams, they know how to win football games. Aaron Donald and Jared Goff and Robert Woods, even Sean McVay, they've been there before. They're 2 years removed from the Super Bowl.
But do you put that much stock in the Rams? Because the Rams always beat Seattle. They always
come out of Seattle looking
somewhat good. Sean McVay has their numbers since he's gotten with them.
Yeah, no question about it. But think about it this way. They got rid of Todd Gurley after they paid him a bunch of money, and everybody was questioning what type of – running game and what they could do in the running game. Well, they run the ball pretty good to me.
And that
formula travels. You have to travel with that when the weather starts to change. You just when they start to get into playing those games when the weather changes, you have to have something portable. You can't just throw the ball all over the lot with Jared Goff, small hands. We saw what happened to him in Chicago 2 years ago. It's a different ball game.
Saw him against Miami.
Yeah, you saw him against Miami a little bit, but you look at the Rams, and Arizona's right there. I just don't think Arizona can beat New Orleans. I don't think they can beat Green Bay. You know, those two teams, I don't think they can beat Tampa Bay.
Are you really still on the Green Bay kick? Like, I know. I'm going to challenge the status quo, and I know Aaron Rodgers is Mr. Incredible. I know the pieces that they have. Are good
pieces. Well, Devontae Adams got hurt, so hopefully he gets back healthy.
Hopefully he gets back, right? Okay, Aaron Jones and company. But still, when you look at who they've beaten, we're going to see them against a good defense coming up against the Colts.
But we can say
that's a really good test for them.
But we can say that. We can say that against everybody, though, right?
No,
I can look at Tampa Bay's record and start to say, well, yeah, you beat this team, you lost that team. Like, they beat Carolina. The Carolina is... You put that up against the same teams that Green Bay plays.
But it doesn't concern you with – I understand that there are wins, but the same way we're going to break down
– You play who you play.
But I know the same way we're going to break down the nuances of the game. Look, we just did it with the Browns, right? Like the conversation is Baker Mayfield being number one pick, even though the Browns won the last two games in crappy conditions. Is it two games? I think – did they beat the Raiders, right?
No, they lost to the Raiders.
They lost to the Raiders. Okay.
Lost the Raiders.
Last two games in weird conditions. Like even the way the Packers beat the Jags, does that not concern you a little bit?
No, because you play down to your competition. Okay. Sometimes you play down to your competition when you're a better team just because, you know, you just, for whatever reasons, you're not focused in, you're not laser focused. The killer teams, through my experience, that have been great teams come playoff time is they play up. They don't play down to the competition. They rise to the challenge. And I think when you look at it, you know, I just think that Aaron Rodgers with a healthy Devontae Adams can get it done to a degree. They're better than Arizona. They're a better football team than Arizona. You know, Arizona's not as good, Zubin, as the Saints, considering that Breeze stays healthy. Whatever. Even when Breeze not healthy, I got enough confidence in Jameis Winston and Sean Payton to put Jameis Winston in the right situations not to turn the football over.
I mean, they'll be fine for the games they have next. I mean, just the weapons that they have in general, though. It's just you can match their weaponry up against anybody else in the NFL.
Indeed. We should mention, if you didn't hear, Drew Brees is a bit of a rib issue, so we'll wait to see.
Dry or sauce?
Dry rub. It's late in the year. It can't get too saucy now. MRI x-rays are coming on the way. That's what Key was referencing into Key's point.
No.
How about the Raiders and the Rams? You're always talking, Key, about the Raiders and the Rams. They will be in the spotlight this week, unlike any other time since they've obviously both now, one moving to Las Vegas and the Rams resituating themselves in Los Angeles. Sunday Night Football, Kansas City at Las Vegas. Monday Night Football, Rams at Bucks. So we'll see the Raiders on Sunday night in front of the whole country with Patrick Mahomes on the other sideline, and we'll see Brady and company take on the Rams on Monday night. So get ready for a great Sunday, Monday. Speaking of Brady, we're asking the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Nation, which NFC quarterback would you least want to face in the playoffs? Kyler, after yesterday, of course, Rodgers, Brady, or Wilson? 34% of you have said Aaron Rodgers, but Oh Hey Biff hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed and said, the cumulative count, who isn't voting Brady? Has the past 20 years not taught you anything? A reminder, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we want your thoughts on who the NFC quarterback you don't want to face is, whether it's Brady, the body of work, or Kyler just coming to the party. Hit us up at the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Go ahead, Key.
It's something about having that experience of 20 years. It's just something about it.
Was that okay, Biff, from Back to the Future?
Could have been. Huh. Not quite sure. Not quite sure. Biff, call us up. No, actually, don't call us up. Let's go from A to Z and then talk about a huge story. Huge story that is percolating this morning in the NBA.
Is it Biff from Back to the Future?
Yeah. Right, yeah. And from A to Z, we'll split the difference and go DJ, as in Dustin Johnson, who wins the Masters at 20 under par. It's a score we've never seen at Augusta, and they've been competing for the green jacket there since 1934. It's his second major, four bogeys over 4 days. The lead was sliced to one early on Sunday. Then he just ran away, three under on the back nine, an incredible win. And oh, by the way, one thing we haven't mentioned this morning, I just want to mention for anybody that's got a sibling, for anybody that understands what it's like to share your greatest moment with somebody, Dustin Johnson's caddy this weekend was his brother. His brother on the bag. Wow. How amazing. His brother Austin was on the bag for him. So how amazing is it to share that brother moment? Dustin Johnson on winning golf's grandest event.
As a kid, you know, dream of playing in the Masters and, you know, dream about putting on a green jacket. I still kind of think it's a dream, but hopefully it's not. I've had the lead a couple times and haven't been able to finish it off. And so it is very nice to have a lead and then play well on Sunday and get the win. Yeah, I couldn't be more happy, and I think I look pretty good in green, too.
I bet you do. He's referencing he was the runner-up in 2019, and he's been on the precipice a couple times with 54 hole leads. But, Jay, what is your reaction to DJ's historic win at Augusta National?
He was dominant. You knew that he was going to take a stranglehold of that lead and just continue to clamp down. I was going to ask you, Zubin, can you imagine if you and I played in the Pro-Am and Key was our caddy? Imagine Key running out from the bar on the course handing us clubs. It would probably be one of the most entertaining things I would experience in life.
Not going to happen. So,
you wouldn't be my caddy? You wouldn't support me?
No, I would probably watch it on television, but I'm not going. Why would I waste 4 hours of my day?
It every day with us. We spend time together.
He could be watching The Housewives. I mean, the 4 hours of The Housewives, he'd just be going playing golf.
Better content. That's what he likes. Better content.
And give you a putter instead of a driver.
That's what I'm saying. Be very entertaining.
Now, this is a huge story, and this could make the Brooklyn Nets, as if they're not going to be entertaining enough, this could take it to the next level. Listen to this. James Harden is now eyeing the Brooklyn Nets as a trade destination. Big story last week, but he's not happy about the future of the Rockets, doesn't think he can win a championship there. Obviously, put two and two together, Kevin Durant and James Harden were teammates with the Oklahoma City Thunder back when Harden wasn't exactly Harden, but they've discussed the possibility. Then you throw Kyrie Irving into the mix as well. I want you to listen to Woj this morning on SportsCenter. You think it's crazy? Harden, Durant, Kyrie? Here's Woj on how it could end up happening.
And if Harden decides that Brooklyn is the place he wants to be and really starts to push the organization on it, you know, I think that's the momentum that it's going to take to get him to New York. You know, Brooklyn has some assets and young players and potential picks and all those things that you're going to want. But a player of James Harden's caliber, Houston's going to have to get a monster haul back to justify trading, maybe one of the two or three best players in the NBA.
Yeah, they might as well go ahead and just go with Westbrook, too. Bring the old band back.
I'm just saying, man, a couple of days, we were up in the show talking about this, and you said it was a reality, and now all of a sudden it's coming to fruition. Interesting. All I'm saying is that James Harden, if he wanted to get to Brooklyn, could get to Brooklyn. Him, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant, regardless of whatever assets they had to give up, you would think that Sean Marks would be able to find complimentary pieces. If that happens, they would be the favorite to come out of the East. And I got to tell you, something else that happened the other day, a lot of people aren't going to talk about, Dennis Schroeder going to that Los Angeles Lakers, which huge for the Lakers. It gives them another scoring threat. It gives them somebody that at times was the best player on the floor for OKC. And it is, that could be your NBA Finals next year. The Lakers, LeBron, AD, Dennis Schroeder versus the Brooklyn Nets, Kevin Durant, Kyrie, and James Harden.
So let me ask you this, though, Jay.
Jay. I got you.
I was just trying to think of a name for you. The fact that James Harden is pushing, or so allegedly, pushing to get out of Houston to go join KD in New Jersey, does he get the same kind of pushback that KD got going to Golden State?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's almost, I would equate, I mean, just because he hasn't been able to win a championship in Houston and so many things have been changing around him. I think it's the fact that the rug has been pulled up underneath from him, like losing Daryl Morey, losing your head coach, guys that you've had that continuity with. I don't think it's the same
thing. So then people not going to act like they act when KD went to Golden State and left OKC because he lost to Golden State. Is that?
No, I don't think, because it's not. I mean, it's not. One's in the West. He's going out East. I think it's easier to get to a championship coming from the East, going up through Giannis or Miami.
No, but you know how everybody, like, ring chasing. You know, I mean,
let's talk about it. I mean, Anthony Davis, I mean, remember he wore that shirt to the Pelicans games? That's all, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a league now, in the NBA, where guys are able to dictate where they want to be.
No question about it.
I have no problem with that.
No, you know, I don't have a problem with it. Go get your money, get your rings and everything else. I'm just saying, for the people that you communicate with on social media and Twitter and all that different stuff that you...
Are they going to be haters? Of course they are.
Get yourself caught in. Or are people going to try and create this narrative that he couldn't do it in Houston? He only could do it with KD. That's why he's running.
Stop. I hate this, though.
No, I'm just asking you.
It just gets me angry, and I know you are. It gets me. Because people are like, well, you can't win it on your own. How you win it on your own has a lot to do with who's running your organization, the style in which you play. When they come in, when Steven Silas comes in, and I give him a lot of credit. Look, he's going to be a tremendous coach. To come into that organization with those expectations, I think are unfair for a first-year head coach. But when you hear internally from them that, yes, we're going to run it back. I don't want to run small ball back anymore with PJ Tucker at my five. P.J. Tucker is having issues with his contract. We may not even have P.J. Tucker moving forward. We got complimentary players getting frustrated with, I'm worried about my role, Austin Rivers.
You mean to tell me y'all want to play with a 6'5
center? No, I don't want to play with a 6'5 center. I love you, P.J. You grind it out, but go grind it out somewhere else. I want to win a chip, and if playing with KD and Kyrie is the best way for me to do that, and I can come east and go through Milwaukee
There's no question he should get out of there, as well as Westbrook find a home that fits their style. I'm just saying, from a, I don't know, a gossip, social media hater standpoint, what's going to be that message that people try to, you know, create? See, that's all. I was just asking you.
We'll wait to see. Draft's a couple days away. Jay will be front and center on that. The NBA offseason, free agency.
Come on, man. My suit's ain't ugly now. I'll make sure they're presidential like yours was the other day.
Keyshawn, Jay Wills, you've been presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. On the way, Clemson didn't play on Saturday, but they still got a coach fired. Mm. We'll explain that.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Paul Feinbaum also joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, brought to you by Dr. Pepper. The college football season is heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Paul, good morning. I don't think it's a coincidence that as Clemson has risen in the state of South Carolina, the Gamecocks have fallen. They fired head coach Will Muschamp yesterday. Fifth season on the job, 28-30 overall. If I was, you know, Zubin from New York City calling into your show later today, I guess the only explanation I could give would be something like this. If you can't succeed coaching a great SEC program like Florida, how in the world are you going to succeed coaching a mediocre SEC program at South Carolina? Translation, why was he hired?
He was hired for one reason. Ray Tanner, the athletic director, 5 years ago, thought he had Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart had sent signals to South Carolina that he was about to become the next coach there. Remember, he was at Alabama as Nick Saban's defensive coordinator. Georgia, his alma mater, picked up wind of that and made a very gutsy decision. They fired Mark Richt, who was popular and had a good record. They said, Mark, thanks, but no thanks. You're out of here. Kirby got the job, and Ray Tanner hired Will Muschamp. Give Will Muschamp credit for this much, Zubin. He's certainly a failure as an SEC coach, but he could easily get a job working for Goldman Sachs, because he has now picked up close to $25 million in buyouts for being fired from Florida and now the University of South Carolina. So he's smart about one thing.
Let me ask you this, though, Paul. When you talk about the next move for South Carolina, there's a guy sitting right down the road, an offensive coordinator, Tony Elliott, from Clemson. Why wouldn't you go and try to figure that out? Because in-state recruiting, surrounding areas, regions, it's time for him to get a job, wouldn't you think?
No, he's fantastic. I would agree with you. And his counterpart, of course, got a job in Florida last year. This is going to be a fascinating thing, because this is a big name, a big coaching search. So you're going to get his name in there. You're going to get the Coastal Carolina's coach's name in there. You're going to get others, Munkin from West Point. Why? Because the president at South Carolina was formerly at West Point. You're going to get Billy Napier from Louisiana. But the name that will draw the most attention and the most controversy is Hugh Freeze. Remember Hugh Freeze?
Oh, yeah, I do.
He was at Ole Miss,
yeah.
Beat Alabama twice, lost his job. Now he's killing it at Liberty. And he is the hot name of the moment. But this will be a fascinating coaching search.
Hey, Paul, when I say Jim Harbaugh, what do you say?
Loser. and I don't mean that. And I don't mean that in the proverbial, being kids outside sense. But, I mean, this guy has just taken a massive beating the last couple of weeks. He can't get it done. And this is not your normal garden variety coach we're talking about. This is not Will Muschamp here. This was a favorite son. This was a guy that's been to the Super Bowl. Everyone knows all that. You don't need to hear it again. And now the question is, what does Michigan do about it? They're paying him $8 million a year. He has another year left on his contract. The program has imploded. We're now, and Zubin, listen up, because we're getting close to home here. He now has a must-win game against Rutgers. Saturday. No one's ever said anything quite like that before. And what I say about that, should Michigan lose to Rutgers? There's zero path right now. I don't see there's much path either, but you have insiders at Michigan, John Bacon, who's a historian and who's written volumes on the University of Michigan, very close to Harbaugh, very close to this program, a Michigan man. He wrote over the weekend, Michigan is not going to fire Jim Harbaugh. And that may be what they end up doing. But the question is, how can they continue to go on with him? Because every time he loses, it's a national story. It's a national conversation. Recruits are watching this program and others listening to this program going, why would I want to go there and play for this guy?
Why did it go wrong so quickly for him, though?
Well, I think if you know Jim Harbaugh, he's a stubborn guy. He's never quite adapted since he got there. And you know, Key, I mean, he was a very successful offensive mind at Stanford and obviously in his run in the NFL. But he's never been able to quite adapt to the Big Ten. I think he's also caught Ohio State at a bad time as Urban Meyer's program ascended. And now Ryan Day has picked up where he left off. The Big Ten is a good league. I mean, we have games this weekend with Northwestern and Indiana, and they are the ones who are undefeated, while Michigan and Penn State are struggling badly. So there has been a paradigm shift up there, and I just think he's refused to change. And when you watch Jim Harbaugh after the game, after these losses, it's really pathetic to see, because you know every coach has a path afterwards, but I mean his are just clueless. It's like Jim Harbaugh just discovered this team has lost for the first time in 5 years, and we'll fix that. I don't think there's much left to fix up there.
That's a fair point. It is indeed broken. I'll leave you with this little fact that you can use on your show in case you get some Harbaugh calls. 4 years ago, Michigan went to Rutgers and won 78-0. They won by 78 points, and on Saturday, Rutgers is merely an 8-point underdog. Shows you how quickly things will change. You can see Paul, watch him, listen to him every weekday afternoon on the SEC Network on the best college football show out there, 3 Eastern. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, guys. See you soon. Right.
Thanks, Paul.
It's great to have Paul Feinbaum.
Zubin goes be at the game with full Rutgers gear on.
There, locked in.
Every time he talk about that 78-point blowout, he's like,
well, we'll tell you. On the way, speaking of, can you do that again? That's how Saints fans are feeling this morning, because if Drew Brees' MRI and x-rays on his injured rib comes back faulty, we could get another version of... because we are asking this morning, who is the NFC quarterback you don't want to face in the playoffs? Brees, Kyler, Brady, Rodgers, you name it. That's next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, those are the words of Sean Payton and Drew Brees on the injury that has the NFL talking. Injured rib to Drew Brees, was able to gut
dry
it out.
Dry rib or saucy rib?
It could be. We've been going, let's go consistent. We've been going dry all morning, so we'll keep it there. But there won't be a dry eye in the house if this is a major injury to Brees. X-rays, MRI coming today. He was able to gut it out after that late second quarter hit. Played through the first half. Jameis Winston came in the second half, completed 6 of 10 passes. Obviously, we know Jameis could be the long-term answer there, but right now, Brees is the short-term answer, and we want to know right now who's the one QB in the NFC. Very aggressive.
Right now.
Who's the one QB in the NFC you don't want to see in the playoffs? And we'll open it up to somebody as fresh and new as Kyler Murray or somebody as experienced as Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, whatever you want. Throw it up. Hit us
Nick
up right
Foles,
now.
You
Nick
just name it.
Danny Dimes.
Yeah, Danny Dimes. You name it.
Alex Smith.
It's all you for you guys.
Hey,
Dwayne Haskins. You name it.
See, now you went too far. Yeah. Now you went too far. Everything was fine. Then you just went too far. Dr. Pepper, call in line. Who is it? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Or if it's easier for you, Key J and Z, one NFC quarterback, don't want to see in the playoffs. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets here in moments. What's interesting here, Key, is that you have essentially said right now, with or without Drew Brees, assuming it's a short-term type injury, it's still the Saints' conference to lose.
It is. And you have to think that right now, this is not a long-term term situation for Drew Brees, not out the rest of the season.
Right.
All you need Jameis Winston to do is kind of hold it together like a Band-Aid for a short period of time until that scab heals.
Like Bridgewater.
And like Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0. Didn't wow you with crazy numbers, but didn't lose the games for them. And I think that's when you have to rely on Sean Payton and the other guys on the offensive side of the ball to utilize Jameis Winston for the things that he does well and not put him in situations where he's going to lose the game for you. And I think Sean's smart enough to know that. When you look at the schedule, the Falcons, the Broncos, and the Falcons. Then they got the Eagles. The next big test is week 15 against the Chiefs. Mm. That's the next big test. Outside of that, you got the Falcons, the Broncos, the Falcons, the Eagles, and then Carolina's on the – and so it's kind of like, they got one game
right
on that schedule. They play the Vikings. They got one game on that schedule.
Excuse my ignorance, but if it's a broken rib, then what do you do for something like that?
Oh, I don't know if it's broken or not. I don't know.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Hypothetically, we don't know what the injury is, right?
Right. X-rays and MRI still to come.
So, I mean, I've seen Baker Mayfield play with bruised ribs. And I know how challenging that is.
Smoked or not?
Dry rib. We've addressed this
smoked
multiple Baker times.
Are they smoked dry rib? It hurts.
But you still play.
Yeah, you can still play.
Yeah.
You can still play because you put the flap jacket on. It's like
I don't know, because in basketball, I ain't trying to play with a broken rib.
I ain't trying to play with a chipped nail in basketball.
Called, yeah, it's called guarantee.
I knew you was about to say that. I knew you was about to say something about money.
Well, that's how do you, especially if you're throwing, no key, you do everything.
It hurts.
How do you,
it hurts. And so you got the flap jacket on, which is like a shoulder pad around the rib cage. It's got plastic and all that. Then they'll probably put this little thing called like a donut. They'll cut out a foam piece, and they'll like tape it to wherever the spot is at. And then they may decide to give him a little bit of that help.
A little bit of the juice.
A little help, as long as they don't go in
too far,
Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you look at it, I don't think anything – it didn't seem like to me it was broke. It seemed like it just hurt really bad. You could see the water in his eyes, Drew's eyes on the sideline. I was like, he's in pain. You could totally tell. But a couple weeks off will probably put him back in position to take back over at some point in time. But I do think Jameis Winston is well equipped enough to guide the ship forward for a few weeks.
Now let me ask you this: if Jameis Winston does, never mind. We have a caller. I'll get to it when I get done. We gotta
all right.
Get the caller.
So the topic this morning is who's the one quarterback in the NFC you do
is this
not
really
want to
a real caller
in the playoffs? Indeed.
I think it's a real caller. Let's see.
Let's find out. Juan in Georgia. You're on ESPN Radio. Go ahead.
You probably think I'm crazy, but I think it has to be Kirk Cousins if he gets hot.
Well, here's why.
He beat New Orleans last year, though, sir.
He beat New Orleans in the playoffs. Yeah, I get that 2 years ago. I understand. Or was it last year? I understand that, but come on, man, stop. Ain't nobody. No Kirk Cousins.
All right, here's a more conventional call.
Stop.
A more conventional candidate. Ahmed in Queens, you're on ESPN Radio. Who's the one quarterback in the NFC you don't want to face in the playoffs?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's got to be Tom Brady. His poise, his experience, his leadership. After a loss, you got to take him to win any game, and I think he proved that. He's got way too many weapons. He makes the running game look better because of the way he spreads the ball around. And you can't key on somebody. In Green Bay, you could take away Devontae Adams.
Ahmed,
because that would have been my second pick.
Ahmed, I would take Tom Brady, but I will only take Tom Brady after a loss when Bruce Arians has debased him on national stage. That's when I would take Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is ridiculous, man.
You're not wrong with that one, man. You're not wrong with that one at all now.
Brady, you really can't go against Brady, right? I mean, I really don't want to see Brady. But if I had to, that would be a guy along with Aaron Rodgers. I would say, those two for me. Kyler Murray's still young. I mean, he's done some good stuff, but he's still young in this. And Russell Wilson hasn't really played well of late.
Now, let me ask, why wouldn't it be Drew Brees? And I say Drew Brees because when we compare them, Keith, lineup-wise, they have just as many toys as anybody.
No, they do. Drew Brees can go.
Like I said, it may not be that deep arm threat, but the level in which he can manage the game, why isn't that something that people don't see as intimidating?
But the funny thing about it, though, Jay Will, is he's beyond a manager. He's not – his arm strength has been the same his whole career. But I don't know why people all of a sudden act like he done lost a fastball or something. He's been that same quarterback his entire career. He didn't go from Aaron Rodgers, Dan Marino, strong arm to a water pistol. He's been this guy his entire career. But for whatever reason, I think people just the sexiness of Tom Brady, 20 years of experience, all these playoffs and Super Bowl wins, and then Aaron Rodgers with the dynamic, you know, arm strength. That's why people leave a guy like Drew Brees out.
Keep in mind one thing that should be mentioned. Obviously, Drew Brees is 41 years old, so that's something to keep in mind. And also, the statistics all say that he tends to play a little bit worse in the month of December. Maybe it's age, maybe it's something, but he tends to decelerate statistically at the end of seasons. Just the numbers thing. He does have that Super Bowl. On the way, looking back at one of the greatest finishes in recent NFL history.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.